and well, I'ma sing hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. I love
cause you
yes,
know that
I love
to in the morning.
I love
to in the evening.
I love
to praise his holy name. Cause he's my rock.
He's my rock.
Yeah, he's my rock.
My soul is his.
And he's the will.
He's the will.
Well,
in the middle.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, my God, I love. And well, I'ma sing hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. I
love to praise his name.
Well, I love
to in the morning.
I love
to in the evening.
I love
to praise.
Amen, and good morning to everyone. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Good to see everyone. How's everyone doing? God is good, and we thank him so much for blessing us to be here today, this morning. If you're visiting with us, you're truly an honored guest, and we thank you for being our special guest. Our elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. If you're watching by way of television, thank you also. We hope that you stay with us for the next few minutes and allow the Lord to speak to you through his servant this morning. If we can do anything, if you need someone to talk to, if you need to pray, if you have a question, if you just need to talk to someone, if you call a number on your screen, someone will answer the phone and be more than happy to talk with you, to minister to you even this morning. We hope and pray that one day you will be able to visit us here in person at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. Isn't that right, church?
Amen.
Amen. This morning, if you will open your Bibles to the book of Luke, to the book of Luke. We started a lesson last Sunday, a closer look at the Gospel of Luke. And this is part two of that lesson. I don't know if there's going to be a part three or not, but I know some of you were not here last week, and that's okay. That's okay. You just have some homework to read the book of Luke, if you haven't already done so. Last week, we studied Luke chapter 1. Everybody, you need your thinking caps on this morning. You didn't come here to sleep, did you?
No.
We came here to worship our great God. And there is a word from the Lord this morning for everybody, if we lend an ear to him. We began our study in Luke chapter 1, and we really kind of focused on verse 1 through 4. And from this study, we recognize Luke as also the inspired author of the book of Acts. And we covered that last Sunday, Acts chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. You see that really it's a two-volume work, writing, that through the Holy Spirit he uses Luke to write this. He directs it specifically to Theophilus, and we see that Luke's main goal in writing was to persuade. He calls him most excellent Theophilus, and that term most excellent is only used three times in the Bible. The other two times it refers to Felix, who was the governor of Judea, and Festus, who took his place. And so it is thought by many that Theophilus had a high charge in the government. But the Bible doesn't say exactly, but it calls him most excellent Theophilus. We know that Theophilus was probably a Christian, or had definitely been taught about Christianity. And it was Luke's goal to persuade and make sure that Theophilus Theophilus is teaching. His teachings about Christ were true. The teachings were confirmed and make sure that he was grounded in the Lord and that work. And I want to read Luke chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. Listen to it. Luke 1, 1 through 4. Inasmuch as we have undertaken to compile an account of the things accomplished among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the beginning were our witnesses and servants of the Lord, it seemed fitting for me as well, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning, to write it out for you in consecutive order, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the exact truth about the things you have been taught. So he points out three things in these verses. Verse 3, that this account is the product of thorough, careful research. Point number one. Point number two is that he had many written sources. That's in verse 1. He had many written sources he could rely on, others who had wrote about the account of Christianity, the life of Jesus Christ. Then in verse 2, point number three, that he had direct access to eyewitnesses to confirm his work. And Luke is just one of four gospels about the life and teachings of Christ. Do you know the others? Matthew, Mark, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, New Testament scriptures. And all of them are about the teachings of Jesus Christ. And Luke's is a little bit different, but it's still a lot of it is the same. We also learned last week that Luke was a physician. He was a doctor. That's found in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 14. We saw that Luke was a fellow worker of the Apostle Paul in Philemon chapter 1 and verse number 23. We saw that Luke is beloved by Paul because of his faithfulness to Paul in his work and is not deserting Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 10. Well, we find that Luke is very concerned about Theophilus' faith in Jesus. And he's very concerned that his faith stay grounded. God is very concerned that we stay grounded in the faith. Amen. Not only was this written for Theophilus, it was written for us today. Amen. And we live in a world, I know I'm preaching to the choir, if you will, but even among us right now, some of our faith is a little wobbly this morning. And if we, notice this, and if we're not continuously taught and retaught, we can fall away from the Lord. Amen. So very easily. Now notice, we know for a fact that Theophilus had been taught just like most of us in here right now. But if we allow the devil, if we allow our own selfish ambition to go unchecked, if we just do our own thing and never be retaught the word, we would fall away ourselves. Amen, somebody. It doesn't matter how long you've been in the church. And so we want to take another look at Luke and see what he does to try to confirm Theophilus' faith and confirm our faith. And somebody needs this morning, young and old. You've heard my heart on several occasions how there is so much tugging at our young people's hearts right today. So much pulling at them and so much trying to get you to put your allegiance in something else. And we want your allegiance to stay in the God and Jesus Christ, his son. Listen to Luke chapter 1 and verse 5 and let's see how Luke starts his story. And he starts this story and he's writing to Theophilus and he begins in the beginning of the life of Jesus, even before Jesus was born. And he says in the days of Herod, king of Judea, he starts name dropping, if you will. See, sometimes we read the Bible and we see things, we see names, we skip over them because either we can't pronounce them or we don't know who they are. But everything in the Bible is in there for a reason, even if you don't know the reason. And he drops Herod. He says, in the days of Herod, king of Judah. Now, there are some people who don't believe in the Bible. There are some folk who don't believe in God. They don't believe in, they'll say they don't believe, they believe in something, but it's just not, they don't want to answer to God. And in God's word, Luke drops. Now, Luke is a physician. He's highly intelligent. He's disciplined. That's why I believe he was a chosen vessel by the Holy Spirit, by God, to write this letter, to have some credibility when he's talking to smart folks. And you know, in this world, there are folk who think they know everything. And you can't tell them nothing. Yeah, so he mentions Herod, and I wish I had time. I just don't have time to cover everything, but he mentions Herod. Some of you might not want to look in the Bible, but Herod is in other books. Yeah, I know Josephus in the first century. This is not very far after the life of Jesus. In the very first century, Josephus, a Jewish historian who many people who are not religious respect more than they do the Bible. But Josephus wrote about the Bible and a whole lot of stuff in the Bible. But people will read Josephus and will deny the Bible. And Josephus writes about Herod. He's Herod the Great, if you will. Some of you kids, you can Google him if you want to. I know sometimes, that's one thing about preaching now, you better be careful what you say, because you can't Google him in here, I don't think, because we cut the wireless internet off. Amen, somebody. I think we did. But some of you have hot spots. I know you can. That's all right. But Herod was Herod the Great. They called him Herod the Great. Now, he wasn't great because he was so great. He was really called Herod the Great because he was a great builder. He built many edifices. He even expanded the Temple of Jerusalem. He built the port of Caesarea and other buildings. But most folk who study, they call him a madman. Only other word I can say, he's mad because he just about killed everybody in his family. Anything that threatened his leadership, his rule, Herod the Great is the one. You know, Herod despised anything, and he's the one who had the babies killed and trying to get to King Jesus, if you will. That's the Herod we're talking about. And Luke mentions him, and he knows Theophilus knows about him. See, sometimes those of us that's in the church, we need to study, we need to keep learning and keep learning so we can reach some of these intelligent, I don't want to call them fools, but the Bible calls any person a fool who don't believe in God. So I'm not, Brigham, not calling nobody a fool, but only a fool says in his heart that he is no God. That's what the scriptures say. You know, in the days of Herod, I didn't mean to spend that much time on Herod because I'm trying to get somewhere else. He's the king of Judah. There was a priest named Zacharias, and he goes through this history of the division of Abijah. That's important. This might not be important for you, but that's important, especially if you were a Jew. That was important. Because he knows that they didn't have, Theophilus didn't have the New Testament as we have it today, but they certainly had the Old Testament and the old laws. And all you look back in the old law, go to 1 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 9. That's why I told you you need your thinking caps this morning. 1 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 19, it gives us a synopsis of what Zacharias was a priest, and he worked in the temple. Listen to this in verse 19. These were their offices for their ministry when they came into the house of the Lord according to the ordinance given to them through Aaron their father, just as the Lord of God of Israel had commanded them. You see, in their offices in the temple as priests, there were 24 lots, if you will. 24 offices in it. And if I had time, I'd read through all the offices that the priests had. And I go back up to 1 Chronicles 24:10. 1 Chronicles 24:10. The seventh for Hakos, the eighth for Abijah. Now go back to Luke. He says, now Zacharias was of the division of Abijah. He went into the temple and he either burnt incense and had his duty in the household of God, and he was of the lineage of Aaron, and he was a priest in the temple. Luke gave Theophilus those details because he wanted to make sure he had them right. He can confirm them and verify because of what else he was about to tell him. And so that might help somebody even in here this morning as you do your research and trying to confirm and verify if the Bible is true, if the Bible is accurate. Is it right? Can we trust it? Is it reliable? Go back to Luke chapter 1, verse 5. And he said, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, She was also from the priestly tribe of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. But they had no child. Now, you know what? They were Christian. They were righteous. They were good people, but they didn't have a child. That's all to say something to us. You can be godly. You can be loving. You can be beautiful. But you're going to have some issues in life. Amen, somebody? Amen. Nobody has everything. And sometimes some people look at these things as a curse, but you don't know really it's a blessing from God. Now, it said that they were obeying all of God's commandments, but they did not have a child. And so even if you're here right now and you say, Brother Gary, I'm trying to live right and I'm single and I don't have a husband, you keep living right. You get a husband, you might not be faithful. Amen, somebody? Amen. Same goes for a man who's trying to live for God. Same goes for a husband and wife who are trying to live for God. Don't look down on what's not happening. Thank God for what you do have. Amen. Thank God for your blessings. Keep serving God and be patient and watch what God will do in our lives. And you had Zacharias and Elizabeth. They were faithful to God, but they didn't have any children. Somebody said, that's a shame. They should have had a child. God wasn't ready for them to have a child. Yes, and he gave them a child, and it says Elizabeth was barren, and they were both advanced in years. Key point: they were older, so in their minds they thought that there's no way we could have a child. But God wasn't finished yet. Notice this. Also, notice God was getting ready to use them. They would not be the parents of the Savior Jesus Christ. They would be the parents of John. John the Baptist, the Bible calls him. God was getting ready. Notice, always in the Bible, majority of the time you see that God selected men and women who had qualifications. You know, see, the qualifications come before the qualification. God selected, you remember he selected Noah. The scriptures say he was a just man. He found favor with God because he obeyed God's commandment, and God used him to build the ark to save his household. God blessed Enoch in the Bible in Genesis chapter 5. And Enoch, the Bible say he walked with God, and then he was God. Took him up, he was without. God used Mary. And the scriptures say that Mary found favor with God, according to Luke 20, verse 27. She found favor with God, and she was a virgin. God didn't use anybody to bring his son in the world. And I know some people probably would wish I'd just run over that. But let me just say this to the young ladies in here and the young men in here. God finds favor with those who live godly lives. Amen, somebody? I mean, you know, we can say it. It's not said enough. You know, we watch television and we think everything is the way it is. Well, when they get old, you know, after a while, everybody is not. Amen, somebody. And we find favor when we live God's way. Amen, somebody. And Mary found favor with God before God used. She was already living a godly life, and God used him. If you brothers, if you're going to be a deacon in the Lord's church, you need to be deaconing before you are selected. Amen, somebody. And 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 3, they are quality. If you're going to be an elder, you don't jump up and want to be an elder. You're already doing elder's work before you become an elder. If you're going to be a minister, Paul told Timothy, the things you've heard of me among many witnesses is the same. Commit thou unto faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You're faithful before you become a minister. You don't just jump, Brother Gary, I want to preach a sermon, and you better be living like you want to get in this pulpit, amen. You might not be perfect, but you don't just jump up and preach or teach a class, a Bible class, a lesson, because you feel like you can speak and talk to somebody. The qualifications come. But I tell you what, we serve a mighty God. God uses those, and though there are those even among us right now who God is waiting on. And you are prime. You're not trying to be seen. You're doing the Lord's work. And don't you know, not only God sees us, there are leaders that see and watch and know who is doing the work of God around the Lord's house. Amen, somebody. And don't grow weary. Don't get antsy. Just keep doing what you're doing. Amen, somebody. I'm going to tell you something else. God can use evil folk to carry out his purpose. Yes, he can. Yes, God can use evil folk. I used to say, well, you know, we have to be qualified. But God can use, you remember, I believe in the Old Testament, you remember Pharaoh. Pharaoh who wouldn't let God's children go. And see, now God don't make people evil, but if somebody decide they want to be evil, God can use you to carry out. I want to read one verse, and then I'm going to move on in Exodus chapter 5, verse 2. I was looking at this, and I just scanned it. Listen to Exodus chapter 5, verse 2. After Moses told Pharaoh, look, you need to let God's people go. God told him, you go to Pharaoh, let God's people go. Listen to what Pharaoh said. But Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and besides, I will not let Israel go. Now, he sure was hard-headed, wasn't he? Now, you know, listen, this is Old Testament, but you got some folk in the world today that are so arrogant when it comes to God. Now, I don't do that God stuff. Don't tell me nothing about God. I don't want to hear about God. And you know what we need to do is pray for him. And don't judge them too hard. You just don't know where they've been, but you just pray that their heart some kind of way would get tender enough that they would listen to God. Now notice this. Now Pharaoh decided that he didn't want to obey God, nobody else. And listen to what Exodus chapter 7 verse 3 says. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart that I may multiply. Notice this. God says, I'm gonna make him even more hard-headed. This is why. That I may multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. When Pharaoh does not listen to you, then I will lay my hand on Egypt and bring out my host, my people, the sons of Israel, from the land of Egypt by great judgments. The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand on Egypt and bring out the sons of Israel from their midst. You keep being hard-headed if you want to. God will make your head still hard, and he will show other people by using you that he is great. Amen, amen somebody. Amen. Yeah. Now, Brigitte, that's Old Testament. You want me to read something in the New Testament? Listen to Romans chapter 1, verse 28. Romans chapter 1, verse. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. That's why it's dangerous to stay out in that world. It's dangerous to be hard-headed. It's dangerous to keep denying God. I don't know God, being defined. God will let you go on out in the deep. And if you go in the deep, you go. Let me read verse 27, a verse up above that verse. And in the same way, also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another. Men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. You keep making right wrong and wrong right. And then find God and saying that I do what I want to do. God going to let you keep going on. And after a while, you're going to get payback. Harper Gale, you don't need to talk about that. I'm reading it from the word of God. Amen. Amen. It needs to be said from somebody every now and then. Because we're not hearing it on the television. We're not hearing it in the schools. And it's chunked down our throat that we need to leave everybody alone and let everybody do their own thing. No, says the Lord. Yes. We need to obey God. Amen, somebody. Yes. Because God's purpose will not be thwarted. God's purpose will be carried out. You see that as Luke. I think that's one of the points that he's trying to make. Luke is the only gospel. It's the only gospel writer who recounts the birth of John the Baptist. No, the other gospels, they start with the ministry of John. But because, notice, Luke goes through this consecutive, thorough, he goes in order. He wants to nail it down, Luke. You need to understand where all this is coming from. And so he tells the story of the birth of John the Baptist. He begins in verse 5 of Luke chapter 1, and he announces John's birth to Zechariah. That's what we began to read a few moments ago. I just don't have time to read it all. But let me read Luke 1 and verse 13, beginning to get verse 13. But the angel, the angel you find out is Gabriel. That's in verse number 19. The angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will drink no wine nor liquor. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn away many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God." John is going to be something else. Amen. God got plans for John, and he tells Zacharias, and he gives them this promise. And then in verse 26 through verse 38, Luke 1, verse 26 through 38, then comes the announcement of Jesus' birth to Mary. So he announces John's birth. He announces the birth of Jesus to Mary, his mother. And I just want to read one verse from this. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. I'm trying to stop at 9 o'clock. That's my goal. And Luke 1, verse 26. "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel," there Gabriel is again, "was sent from God to the city of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David. The virgin's name was Mary." So this announcement comes to Zechariah about John. Now it comes about Jesus. Then you go down to verse 39, Luke 1, 39. We're still in Luke 1, 39. And a connection is made between the two, Mary and Elizabeth, that they are kin. And Mary and Elizabeth, and they magnify the Lord. This connection, and Luke wants to record this because Luke wants Theophilus to see the connection between John the Baptist and Jesus. Listen to this verse in verse 39. "Now at this time Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. The Savior is in your womb.'" Read the rest of it. It's very good reading, even when you read the rest of that. And Luke includes all of these details for a reason. Then down in verse 57, Luke 1, 57, it says, he talks about the birth of John. The birth of John actually happens in this verse. And you read some more details, you find out that the angel muffled John, and John couldn't speak because he didn't believe the angel at first. There's a whole lesson in that for some of us who keep doubting, and you want proof, and you want this proof, and you got enough proof. And John, the angel quieted John's voice. But I tell you what, there's going to be a time that the scriptures say every knee shall bow, every eye shall behold. You got some hard-headed folks, and one day you can do it voluntarily or you can do it on your own. Amen, somebody. But the scriptures say everybody, hard-headed folks, the gangsters, the crooks, all people will bow one day to the Lord. They might not know it just yet, but John the Baptist was born. And the scriptures also say that Zacharias prophesied when John was born. I'm going to read one verse in verse Luke 1:6-7. "And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied." Now, you on your own time, read verse 68 on down and see how at first he couldn't speak, but when the Lord allowed him to speak, he wouldn't shut up. Amen, somebody. Yeah, sometimes, no, that's why we as human beings, we shouldn't give up on people. Amen. Yeah. You know, God, some of us in here right now, the Lord was patient with us, wasn't he? Amen. Yeah, some of us gave the Lord a hard time before we finally broke down and said, "You know what? I can't do this by myself. I surrender all." And so God is good. And you have some folk in your family right now who you think never will turn to the Lord. Well, don't you tell them never to come to. You keep living in a way that they want to come to the Lord. Because a lot of times, we their worst enemy. Because some of us act so. Yeah, and so be patient. God is good. But Zacharias, he came around. Listen, and then in Luke chapter 2, 1 through 20, the birth of Jesus, the details are announced. The birth of Jesus announced. And you see this pattern that's going through. Luke, I know that through the Holy Spirit, he gave him this just like this for a reason. Let me read Luke 2 and verse 12. Luke 2 verse 12. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the high. Notice now, remember, Zacharias was prophesying. This time the angels are prophesying. He says, glory to high on peace on earth among men with whom he is pleased. The angels are prophesying. And so, don't you see that Luke wants Theophilus to compare and contrast Jesus and John the Baptist? He's trying to get his faith grounded. Some of us need to understand the difference between Jesus and John the Baptist, the pattern, the similarities. Both children are announced in advance by the angel Gabriel, Luke 1:11 and verse number 28. Both births are unnatural. You had an older couple who have a child in their old age. You have a virgin who has a child. In both cases, the angel tells what name the child should be. And there are some more similarities between these two births, 6 months apart. There's some more similarities. But even more important than the similarities are the contrasts. The contrasts, you see. John was born to a sterile woman. Jesus was born to a virgin. Amen, somebody. John was given a name which means God is gracious. Jesus was given a name which means Savior. John was to prepare for the Lord. Jesus was the Lord who would reign forever, the scriptures say. Now, so Luke, he wants Theophilus to see the mighty hand of God at work. He lays the firm foundation, and that's why some of us fall away. Some people fall away from the Lord because their foundation, if a person is not grounded and don't believe God is able, that God is good on his promises, that God don't play, there are no accidents, he will fall away from the faith. Because we have to believe emphatically that God is in control of the world. A young person that's going to college, that's in high school, they need to have the fear of God in them. That when they're not around mama, God is always watching. But I'm telling you, I don't know. I guess my Bible school teachers at Fifth Ward did a good job of teaching me. And I guess my daddy and my mother did also. Because I remember when I was in college, and I you know, I had a good time in college. I mean, not that good. But I'm telling you, that was only so far I would go. Amen, somebody. And I know we worry about our kids, and I say, Lord, I hope they don't do nothing stupid. I can remember some days, and I surely wasn't perfect. I made some mistakes. I sinned while I was in college. But I remember some days I had some choices to make, some hard choices. And I thank the Lord I had some kind of foundation. Because I remember some of my Bible school teachers, I do. I remember them teaching, and I remember them, the encouragement. And I would always see my mother's face. Some kind of way, I just see her face. Son, be careful. My mother was sweet, and she'd say, Gary, be careful. And she'd say it tenderly. Now, my daddy wouldn't say it tenderly. Yeah, see, boy, don't get up there and embarrass me, boy. I want to be honest, but I don't want to be too honest. it might help somebody. I know you want to know. You just nosing now. You just want to know now. I'm gonna tell you one thing, and I'm stopping at 9 o'clock. There was this guy when I was in college. I won't call his name. I know they taping this. And he started stealing bicycles. And I'm saying this, it might help some of our kids, you know. He started stealing bicycles. And I didn't know it at the time, but I would always, I'd see him on a different bike. And I'm like, I almost called his name, but I said, where you getting all these bicycles? Oh, he said, oh, man, they're free. I get them, they're free. And I said, well, where you get? He said, let me show you. And he and I walked with him, and on the patios of some of the, we had dorms and apartments. On the patio, all the kids had bicycles just sitting on the patio. And while I was walking with him, he walked over and just got one of the bicycles and started riding. I mean, nice bicycle. And I know what you're thinking, but it was so easy. And some of you know, you've heard me say before, I didn't get a car till after I was graduated from college. So you can make it without a car. But I didn't have a car. I hitched a ride, my roommates, you know. But, man, I walked everywhere. And I said, I need a bicycle. And I saw him do it so easy. And I'm telling you what I did. I'm embarrassed. Pray for me. See, I shouldn't have even told y'all that. I can't believe that you even thought. But I did. I was walking one day, and I saw a bicycle. And nobody was around. Nobody at all. I looked. And I made two steps to that bicycle. And I saw my mother's face. And I saw the jailhouse. And I heard my daddy. And I felt the presence of God. Again, did you get the bike? I didn't get the bike. But I can tell you, I thought about it long and hard. Ooh, Lord have mercy. And I say it because, you see, God, Luke wanted Theophilus to see that God is in control. And he said, when he said, Elizabeth, your wife will bear a son, He was good on his word. When he said, Mary, you shall have a child. Listen to Luke chapter 1 and verse number 37. Luke 1:37. After he said this to Mary, for nothing will be impossible with God. That's what he said. Nothing will be impossible. And Luke wants Theophilus and us to see that Jesus is preeminent in all things. Notice. Jesus is not John the Baptist. Jesus is greater than John the Baptist. I know he meant that. Listen to Luke chapter 1, verse 31. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will have no end. Understand, Theophilus. Don't compare nobody to Jesus. Jesus is not Muhammad. Nobody will come before him. Nobody will come after him. Jesus is all. Amen. Jesus is greater than John the Baptist. Amen. Notice this. He wants to get this straight with the Theophilus because he knows that there would be even those who come and who serve John the Baptist and want to raise him higher than Jesus. And even John the Baptist said himself, he must increase and I must decrease. And so you know, when the scriptures call John the Baptist, it's not, they call him John the Baptist because he baptized people. John, God never intended for anybody on this earth to be called a Baptist. I mean, with all the love that I have, I'm just what fact. John would turn over in his grave if he knew people were calling themselves that, even if it didn't have reference unto him. Listen to John chapter 3, and I'm going to stop. And he must increase, but I must decrease. Who comes from above, this is John, is above all. And he who is of the earth is from the earth and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. The Father loved the Son and has given him all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. He who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Acts chapter 11, I believe it's in verse number 26, the disciples were called Christians. So any followers of God, Theophilus, make no mistake about it. Don't make any bones about it. It's all about Jesus. Yes, yes. And he gives them this record. Oh, I wish you could read all the rest of Luke and you see how meticulous Luke was in going through these details, because he wanted to make sure, Theophilus, now you've been taught, but as Jesus, before Jesus left this earth, in Matthew 16, 18, he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. If you're going to be a believer, if you're going to make it to heaven, you're going to need a lot of teaching. Amen. Amen. That's, folk fight Bible class. You need to be in Bible class. Amen. You need to be learning as much about God as you can. No, he says, and teach all nations. He says, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Then he says, and teaching them. So you talk before you get baptized, and after you get baptized, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now, you know, I sometimes get emotional. We get emotional. We come here, we want to get our church on. But if you haven't learned nothing from the Word of God, amen, all you did was had a good time. Amen. And it's time out for us to hallelujah all the time and don't know nothing about God's Word. Amen. If you're here today and you want to be baptized into Jesus Christ, you need to do it the Bible's way. How they did in the Bible. So then faith comes from hearing. And hearing from the Word of God. You keep hearing us say this over and over again, those of you that's watching by way of television. And one of the things even I notice about preachers who are not in the body of Christ, they understand that people need to know something. But I tell you what, it's also what you know. Yeah. And how it's being taught. And Luke is meticulous in his teaching. If you're here today and you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the scriptures say, without faith it's impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11 and 6. And so we are seeking God to believe even more and more and more, make our faith stronger and stronger and stronger. If you're willing to repent of your sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5. If you're willing to confess Christ with your mouth that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Romans 10, 9 and 10, Matthew 10, 32. If you're willing to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, God adds you to his church, to the body of Christ, to the church of Christ, to the kingdom of God, the kingdom of his dear Son, to the house of God, all the time giving God and his Son glory and magnification. There's one body and one spirit, even as you're calling, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, Ephesians 4, 4 and 5. And we're all baptized into one body, 1 Corinthians 12, 13. We're all in one spirit. We all, God wants one church, one people learning the same thing. And that's why Luke wrote word for word, dot for dot, teaching for teaching, trying to make sure Theophilus stayed with the teaching. And so we all come to learn of God. If you're here today and you want to be baptized, then we do it like they did in the first century. And when Peter preached the sermon on the day of Pentecost, they cried, men and brethren, what shall we do? And the same day, 3,000 people were baptized. Now, we don't have 3,000 people in here, but I tell you what, if everybody in here want to get baptized, would we wait on them?
Amen.
That's what you say.
Amen.
But anybody that want to be baptized, we don't wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow is not promised, is it?
Amen.
Amen. They did it immediately, so we do it immediately. You don't have to pray about it. You don't have to labor on it. If you're ready and you know why you're getting baptized, you can be baptized today. Now, we don't baptize babies because babies don't believe. Amen? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He says, repent and be baptized. The babies don't repent, so we don't baptize babies. Now, you can do that at home if you want to. If you want to have a ceremony, we don't do that here because that's not taught in the Bible. Amen? Luke didn't teach Theophilus that, so we don't teach it. Amen? Not hurting anybody's feelings. We, you know, we say it in all love. It might be a beautiful ceremony, but we just don't do it that way. Amen. Amen. You don't mind being an educated church, do you?
That's right.
I'm telling you. And so now notice also, I don't proclaim to know everything. But if somebody have a question, we need to sit down in this Bible and talk about it. Amen. Yes, and so if you're here also today and you need somebody to pray for you, the scriptures say the prayers of the right. Anybody need some prayer?
Amen.
Lord, before I came in this morning, you know some days you get up, you just not. Anybody have one of those days?
Amen.
I just couldn't get the fog out. I kept praying, and I was praying across the street. I was praying on the way up here. I just felt, but I tell you what, I feel better now.
Amen,
amen somebody. If you need prayer, if you're here and you need to get something right in your life, the prayers of the righteous avail it much. Somebody come to the Lord even this morning as we stand and sing.
Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. Will you know I'll humble myself in the sight of the Lord.
And he
will lift
you up.
The sound.
Amazing grace,
will you know
what
amazing grace? How sweet the sound.
Amazing grace, how
sweet.
That saved
a
wretch like me.
I was for the
lost, but now I'm found.